pray with me? Show us your way, O God, and lead us on a level path because of our enemies. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So in the bit of Luke's gospel that we just heard read, we hear Jesus leaning out over the edge of a grief that's a lot older than his 33 years. Jerusalem, he says, and his voice is all pain and wist and sorrow. Jerusalem, the heart of the land of the people who had passed through the waters from slavery into genuine freedom. Jerusalem, the city whose name means peace. Jerusalem, whose hands are caked with dry blood from their past. Jerusalem, so dear to heaven that heaven itself had moved the lips of prophets to tell them no, and you can stop, and don't go no further, and would you see me, please? How often, Jesus says, with a voice that's more ancient than creation itself, how often I have wanted like a mother hen to spread out my wings and gather you up to me and give you shelter when you are scared and you have not been willing and you are not willing now. And look, your house is left to you desolate. There is no one home to take my call. And because of that, you will be vacant. It's as if Jesus sort of looks down south towards Jerusalem and is transported into something like that dark dream Abram has of armies on the move and of siege and of peoples being displaced and of war and blood. And I don't know about you, but when I hear all of those texts this week, in the light of the last 2 weeks, I don't even quite know what to say. And there's something that's a little bit surprising about our text today, I think, because we are in the season of Lent. And Lent is the season that gives us, that unveils to us year by year the good news, the very good news, that it is possible to stop, that it is possible to open our ears to the thing we've been trying not to hear, that it's possible to soften your heart when it's been calloused, that it's possible to turn around and to take another way. But what we see in the texts that are set before us this morning is that it is possible to refuse to stop, that it is possible to harden your heart, that it is possible to lay siege to the shelter that is offered to you by the living God, and to fill up the measure of your sin by refusing to shut off the tap. And the reason that's so resonant is that it's not just staring us there from the page, but we're watching it play out in front of us in world historical terms. Everywhere around us. It doesn't matter what you're tuning into or whether you're at the magazine rack at the grocery store. All of our political pundits are trying to help us understand Russia at war with Ukraine and trying to understand the man at the center of it all, Vladimir Putin. And the thing that's so striking to me this week, listening to these texts and listening to the news, is the thing that is said over and over again about Putin and about the position he's in. Whether it's as like crass as the National Enquirer with its "Why Crazed Putin Can't Turn Back," or as sophisticated as the Russian-American journalist Masha Gessen, who said in an interview I listened to, "Putin has staked his entire political future on this war. There's no way for him to exit it, to find a non-triumphant solution and retain power at the same time. And I don't think there's actually a way for him to survive not retaining power, to humanly, literally, physically survive not retaining power. He is really cornered." He's cornered. I've never heard the word off-ramp used so much as when we're talking about this. What are the off-ramps? There are no off-ramps. How would you exit it? But do you notice what the assumption is in the National Enquirer, in Masha Gessen's analysis, which I think is probably right, and in all of our real politic about this? It's the assumption that it's impossible to retreat because it would simply cost too much. It's the assumption that death is not a good option. Paul has a name for people who end up in this position. With grief like Jesus, he writes to the Christians in Philippi that there are those who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Did you think about that phrase? Enemies of the cross of Christ. To be an enemy of Christ's cross means that you are anti-pain, that you are anti-shame, that you are anti-humiliation and anti-loss at all costs, that you cannot die to get out of the way, that you cannot die for the good of others. Your God is not the God of Israel. Your love is not for your neighbor. Your God is your belly, says Paul. And you have no appetite for being cut down to size. And when you have no appetite for humiliation and pain, you will inflict that pain and humiliation on other people. If you can't die, you will make other people die. And Paul knows this, not because he's ready to point a finger of blame at other people who aren't like him, but because Paul remembers very vividly being an enemy of the cross of Christ. He remembers holding the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen to death, to a ragged, bloody pulp on the streets, like so many people in the cities of Ukraine. Paul remembers holding their coats. He remembers chasing them down, evicting them from their houses. And he remembers how he could not afford to lose his symbolic world until he met Jesus, who came to find him and confronted him. And Paul let it all die to take shelter under the wings of the mother hen who had come to find him after all, in his violence. I remember, and I've been perturbed by this these weeks, reading a little about Putin. His dad was an atheist. His mom was an Orthodox Christian. And in the middle of the Soviet Union, she had him baptized as a baby, secretly. And it was said that even up to a few years ago, maybe even now for all I know, he wore a cross right here on his chest where many of us do. And it is so easy in a moment like this to look over there and see a monster of world historical proportions, utterly different in kind from us. But the uncomfortable thing, the liberating thing potentially, that our texts say to us today is that it is possible to pass through the waters from slavery into freedom and to choose slavery to fear instead. And to lock yourself in until you feel like it is impossible to retreat and you are cornered and death is not an option. And that is the structure of sin. That is the way that we go wrong, whether we go wrong in grand fashion, nation against nation, or we go wrong in our homes, at work, the people in our lives, and the privacy of our own heads. Are we willing to accept the little deaths of repentance for the sake of love, for the sake of the neighbor, for God's sake? See, I think that we often think of repentance, I don't know, as a spineless thing, a weak thing. But it is a brave thing. It is a defiant thing to stare at the threat, the sure threat, mind you, of genuine shame and genuine lowness, having to eat humble pie, having to die a little bit or a lot. It is a brave thing to see that and to face it for love's sake. And so Jesus hears Herod's threat and says, go tell that fox. I have a couple things to do before I'm done. Thank you very much. And I'm not going to run away from him. I'm going right to the heart of the bloodshed. And Paul is thrown in prison because of the words of false witnesses. And instead of just curling up in bitterness or fighting back, writes love letters and tells people to become imitators of him, to know the freedom that he knows from the fear of losing. And repentance and the way of the cross sounds like Psalm 27. God is my light and my salvation. Hear the defiance. Whom then shall I fear? Though an army should encamp against me, yet my heart shall not be afraid. Show me your way, O God. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And in Lent, we are on the way to Jerusalem with Jesus. But that way is in conflict with other ways that we've been going. And the good news for every single one of us, is that whether we're going a little wrong or a lot wrong, there is an off-ramp. There always is. And the off-ramp looks like the mother hen whose arms we will nail open in a permanent posture of embrace. Shelter under those wings if we will but come and die and become friends of the cross. Amen.